You know, we've been doing a study on the book of Ephesians over the last number of weeks in this location and in Clondalkin location. And I'd encourage you to read the book of Ephesians. It's an amazing, rich book. Paul talks about, he wrote it when he was in prison, by the way. So you can see... It wasn't written in some like university. It was written on the job. And what Paul, he wasn't writing about theory. He wasn't writing about, he wasn't commentating on a theology book. He was actually writing not just out of something that he had an intellectual knowledge of, but he was writing out of what he was experiencing in God. That this is not just a commentary about God, but it's what he was experiencing in God. And Paul said that he got caught, in another letter he says he got caught up into the heavens, and he was showing things that he hasn't even got words to be able to express them to us. Do you know, and you're like, my goodness, what could Paul have seen? But what we know is this, that when he came back, he wasn't just using words like power. But he was using now words like, yeah, he used power, but he was like, this exceedingly great power, this incalculable grace. Like, he was using these superlatives to go, look, I'm trying to give you the biggest, most expansive word to express to you what grace and power and what God is all about. And he tried to put it all in because what he'd seen, he says, I just haven't got the capability to be able to fully express the immeasurable love, the depth and the height and the length and the width of the love of God that's in Jesus. It's like he couldn't get his head around it. It was like, it's like, I'm trying to, but they still fall short because God is magnificent in every way. And we heard from Eddie and Louise and whoever else preached over the last weeks, Jay, on Ephesians. And this is my first time to preach here. I preached up in Clondalkin 3 times on Ephesians. And so we read this in Ephesians. This is probably one of the most recognizable scriptures in Ephesians. That this is what Paul says in chapter 2, verse 8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourself. It is the gift of God. For it is by grace that you've been saved. Meaning that you, there's nothing that you have done to gain favor with God. That it's all from him and by him and through him that we have salvation. That if I die today, I am going to heaven. Not because of anything I have done or anything I have failed to do, but because of this gift of grace that Jesus accomplished for me and you on the cross. And one of the most recognizable definitions of grace. So how do you express this to people? And this guy came up with this. He says, grace may be defined as the unmerited or undeserving favor of God to those who are under condemnation. That this grace is, it's given to you and I that don't deserve it, that didn't do anything for it. Another definition is, it's God's favor at Christ's expense. So we gain God's favor based on what Jesus done. You know, the scripture says in Isaiah 53, it's by his stripes we're healed. You know what I mean? So it's not by anything we do, but it's by what happened to him. Or the punishment that was laid upon him brings us peace. So he gets the beating and the whipping and the sins of the world put on him, and we get healing and salvation and forgiveness and favor. So it's all by him and for him. And it says this, that it's by grace, so none of us can boast. So it's not like, well, I'm not as bad as your man. Do you know? No, you can't boast. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. If you break one law of God, you might as well have broken them all. So nobody can look down on each other. No, there should be no spiritual snobbery in the church of God ever, anywhere. Because there go I, but for the grace of God. There go. And this, you read this everywhere. If you put in today now in your phone, definition of grace, this will probably come up 100 times. But grace is more than what is expressed here. Grace is more than us being, it is about us being forgiven. But it's more than that. It's bigger than that. It's more expansive than just being forgiven of our sins. Grace is the operational power of God to actually live out the Christian life that He's called you and I to do. So if He tells us, and when we read, and when Louise preached last week about the way a Christian should live his life or her life and what we shouldn't be involved in, God doesn't say, don't do that. He says, don't do that, and gives you the power not to do that. Do you get me? He says, I want you to change the world, and He gives you the grace to actually change the world. He tells us to do something, and then He goes, now here you go. Here you go. Now here's the energy, the strength, the know-how, the wisdom, the power to be able to do this. In fact, a proper definition of grace would be this. It's this plus, that God gives us Himself to be able to carry out and live this life that He's called us to. It's His power, it's His nature to be able to carry out the very things that He called us to do. And every believer receives this favor and grace of God. Every single person has the ability to live for God and to do what God has called them to do in this world. Grace changes us. It's the operational power of God, the force of His nature, that He gives us this grace so that we become more like Jesus. He gives us Himself. So when we face anything and we access this grace, we are facing it in the very power and nature of God Himself. Now, if I apply that to my last week, I would have had a better week, I guarantee you. That I'm applying and accessing and activating the very grace of God that He's given me to be able to face anything. When you receive the grace of God, there's a change of heart. We see it in Paul's life. We see Paul like being he knew the law, he knew the Old Testament. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was schooled under the greatest scholar in Israel. He knew the religious stuff, and yet Paul says when he realizes grace, he says, "I'm the least of yous all. I'm the chief sinner." He says. When he realizes this grace, that all of his work and all of his do good and all of his knowledge, all of his religiosity couldn't measure up to the grace of God, to the glory of God. And God says, no, you're going to receive this by grace. And now the very man that was killing Christians had a change of heart. And how do we measure our lives? That are we accessing the power and the grace of God? How do we act? How do we know we're changing? How do we know that this is real? Have we got a change of heart? Is our heart now for the things of God? Is our heart for the purposes of God? Is our heart drawn towards His word? Is our heart drawn towards leaning into the Holy Spirit and wanting to know the Holy Spirit? Is our heart in favor of doing what is right? See, God extends His very nature to you and I to change us, to transform us, to bring us into new ways of thinking, a new dimension of living. And I have to do a survey on myself sometimes. Noel, are you living for God? Are you accessing the very throne of grace to receive the power and ability of God to carry out what you're called to do? Or are you living for yourself? And just like the Apostle Paul, he had all the religious trappings, but he was as far away from God as anyone else. There was a man that you may have heard, John Newton is his name. John Newton's mother died when he was 7. She was from an era in mainly English history, probably an American, where there was a move of God called Puritans. And pure is the right word that's in there. That they wanted to live pure lives that would not be contaminated by the world. But like everything else, God gives a grace to the church, and then the church seems to have a habit of bringing it to an extreme. So they had to wear certain clothes and walk a certain way and talk a certain way. And they had garbs that they wore in church that they weren't even allowed to wear outside the door because they could be contaminated by the things of this world. And it just becomes religious. And John Newton seen all this, and then he seen his mom died, and then he became a mariner, he was a sailor, and he wasn't only a sailor, but he was a man that went and took people from other countries and sold them as slaves. And he was a crude man and a man that had no regard for God. In fact, the story is that he was thunder and lightning, and they all thought we were going to die. And he straps himself to the mast of his ship and he dares God to kill him. If you're really there, I have no regard for you whatsoever. And then somewhere in the midst of his life, God shows him his grace. His unmerited favor at Christ's expense. Up in Loch Swilly, up in Donegal. Parks the bow, or whatever you do with a bow. Moor the bow. Is that right? Moor the bow. And he gets up and he goes, well, there's a little chapel up there now. And he experiences the favor and kindness of God. That totally transformed his way he talked, the way he walked, what he had done, what he was going to do in this world. And he writes that song, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sounds. See, grace has a sound. It's a sound of transformation. It's a sound of a change of lifestyle and a life of and a heart. He says, I was blind, but when I experienced this grace, I can see. I was lost, and now I'm found. And he experienced this transformation of God's unmerited favor towards a sinner, that you're now not a sinner, you're a saint. You're now not lost, you're found. You're now not blind, you can see. Once you had no regard for me, but now everything that you see me in it. And not only that, but he says this in one of the verses. It was, go to this one. Through many dangers, toils, and snares. See, he didn't only know about him getting saved by grace, but how to live with the operation of God in his life. I faced dangers and toils and snares, and it was still grace that taught me to fear God rather than to fear the things of this world. Not only does God change our heart, we have a change of identity. We have a change of family. We have family, but we have family. We have a change of culture. We have a change of family, the family tree changes when you access the grace of God that is afforded to you and me. I'm reading through the book of Exodus in my own time, where Moses brings them out of Egypt. But this is what God says to Moses. Now, Egypt was a land of, it's like when we don't know Jesus. Egypt represents a land of darkness, foreign gods, idols, slavery, bondage. That's what that all represents. And the people of God lived there. They were there for 430 years. They weren't allowed to sing their songs. They weren't allowed to pray to their God. They were just slaves from one generation to the next generation to the next generation. And God raises up Moses. And if you don't know the story, read it. It's phenomenal. And Moses, that's a whole other story. Maybe we'll bring stuff on this in the new year. It's a whole book. Eventually God convinced him, go in there and tell Pharaoh, the king. Everyone worshiped Pharaoh, the king, as a god. Go in there and tell that little god to let my people go. And if he doesn't, I'm going to show him the full might of who I am, God says. And he goes in, and you know the story. Pharaoh wouldn't let them go. He said sometimes, let them go. And then he changed his mind. And I'm reading it going, Pharaoh, you're an awful agent. This is God you're dealing with. And God brought them down, reduced them to nothing. The kings of this world, even their hearts are in the hands of God. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. No matter what we see or hear, God is God. And he says this to Moses. What am I saying? Grace changes families, culture of a family. So God says, tell the people to get in divisions, which meant, see all them, these are all the tribe of, who we pick, the Martins. You're all Paul's family. God says, tell Paul to get all his family together. his aunties, uncles, anyone that belongs to the tribe of the Martins. And he says, I'm going to bring them all out of Egypt in their tribes, in their divisions. Grace doesn't just access Paul, but Paul opens the door for this favor and power of God to access a whole family, a whole division. Now, here's the way it works. So imagine, I'm interviewing Paul. I'm like, Paul, what was it like living in Egypt? What happened there to your great-granddad? He died in slavery. Oh, he was a slave. Yeah. Did he worship the Lord? They couldn't really find the Lord in all this. He had some access to God, but he didn't avail of it. He took up with what the Egyptians were doing. You start worshiping like them. Living like, not them all, but they did. But what happened? Well, God came in. Grace walked in the form of Moses and says, I'm bringing you out of here. And then I said, so what happened to your family? Well, all my cousins are walking with God. All my nephews are walking with God. All my nieces are walking with God. That the very culture of your family changes because of the grace of God, because of the favor of God, God's you accessing God's power. So it can be like this. I was somewhere this week and someone says, you know who that is? I says, no. He says, they're big drug dealers. So in this person's mind, this other person's life was or named over them as drug dealers. But now grace gets in. And grace opens the door. Or the door is open to grace. And that family start walking out one by one. Because this is true. This is someone I was with you tonight. That they were known for this. And now the family are getting saved. One after another, after another, after another. Because great now the family tree will look like, well, they were all horse thieves. You know, like if you look up your family tree, nearly everyone is a horse thief somewhere in their life, in their family tree. And that family, they were very bitter and broke open, didn't talk to this family. Look up the Guinness's family tree. And you'll see, this happens to everyone. This family of the Guinness split with this family. And they didn't want this, and they didn't want this, and the families went that way. And then something happens here, that one of them becomes a Christian, a believer, that grace enters their life. And then their kids are living for God. And their grandkids are living for God. And their nieces and nephews are living for God. And they're the ones that started that ministry. And they're the ones that started this ministry. And they went to foreign fields and started to reach people for Jesus. And someone says, what happened there? What happened that the family tree was going, horse thieves, horse thieves, horse thieves, drug dealers, you know, power-hungry monsters. They were just settled for money. They were just business people that didn't have no regard for God. But what happened here that this tree branch went here? Grace came in. And you think... And people think, well, I'm the only one saved in my family. No, you're the door opener for grace to come in and change a whole culture. And you will see over time your family, your friends come out of Egypt. They come out of Egypt and they come out. It takes time at times, but they come out. Why? Because you opened the door to grace. It changes their lifestyle. Louise preached last week out of the book of Ephesians. And it says... It says, follow God. This is what she preached on. Follow God's example. Therefore, as dearly loved children, walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, let there not be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. And don't let there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather give thanks. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, because such things bring the wrath of God on those who are disobedient. And this is what the Bible teaches. Our lifestyle has to be different than when we weren't Christians. That we can't live, walk, talk, dance, jump like have a way of talking like we used to. Because if we have, we just have to go before God and say, God, I'm not letting grace have its full way in my life because I'm still thinking the way I used to think, acting the way I used to act, behaving the way I used to behave. And it's not a condemnation that you're a bad guy or a bad girl because you can't change that without the power and the grace of God. But that we have to come before him and say, God, that's the way I used to live. When I was blind and lost, I need your grace to overcome. This is what grace is. God gives you himself. 1 John says that we will overcome the world. Why? Because he has already overcome the world. And it's like we don't have to settle. We don't have to say, well, that's just me hang up, or that's just me habit, or that's just me hoard, or that's just something I struggle with. We don't have to. We can settle for it, but the Bible teaches that we don't have to. And if I am struggling in an area, what I'm learning is more and more is that I have to open that area up to the grace of God. Because he won't ask me to live a way that he hasn't given me the power to actually live that way. It changes our operation. It changes the way we deal with life. Paul says, he was caught up into the third heavens. He's seen inexpressible things. Listen to what he says. He says, an old man, he was speaking of himself, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things. Things that no one is permitted to tell even. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to speak, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so no one will think of me more than is warranted by what I say, and because of so apparently great revelations that I have got. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited and proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. 3 times he asked the Lord to take away this thorn in his flesh. Grace gives you the power and ability to be able to overcome and to change the mode of operation when we face hardship, difficulties, pain, torment. That he says this is what God said to him. When you're going through all this, Paul says, take this away from me, Lord. He probably regretted that he even got the revelation. Do you ever think sometimes you're under so much pressure from inside and outside that you go, I wish I never even said that. I wish I never even started walking with Jesus, because I hadn't got this pressure at the time. And see the enemy the way he works. He will buffet us for a time. But listen to what God says to Paul. My grace is sufficient for you. My grace, my power, my operation, the life that I want to give you is sufficient for you. Lean into me. 3 times, Paul says. Are we facing difficulties? Yeah. His grace is sufficient. His grace is accessible. His grace is what? If we lean into it, we get more. If we lean into God, we get more of God. And he's, no matter what we're facing, listen, his grace is sufficient. So how we do our grief and our pain? He says, I've made provision for you. We have access to the grace of God. Listen to what Paul said in Galatians. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ, and you're now turning to other things. So it's possible to turn to other things in times of difficulty. Paul says, I'm astonished that so many are quickly turning to the world. Actually, he says, to another gospel. To another, you just work this out yourself. He says, I'm astonished. And yet in Corinthians, he says, but come back to the grace that's sufficient for you. There's people not in church today. There's people that you know today that are gone elsewhere, other than to access the grace of God. And the Romans says, find that brother or sister. Inform them about the grace of God again that's sufficient for them. Not only does it change our culture, change the way we operate, it changes our focus. Listen to what Paul says. I'm finishing with this. Paul says, this grace, this Ephesians 3, Paul said, this grace was given for the Gentiles. Have you read Ephesians and it talks, if you noticed this word in it, Eddie brought it a couple of weeks ago, about the mystery. The mystery. Just tip the person beside him and say, mystery, in a mysterious voice. In a mysterious voice. It's a great word, isn't it? Mystery. That's a great word. One of my favorite words is rendezvous. Rendezvous. It's just a great word, isn't it? Rendezvous. The mystery is at the rendezvous. So, here's what the mystery is. Will I tell you the mystery of Ephesians? Will I tell you the mystery that Paul was expressing? It's found in chapter 3. It says, Paul says, the mystery is this, that this grace, this gospel, is available to the Jew and to the Gentile. That was the mystery that Paul says it was hidden. For this mystery was hidden all through the Old Testament. It was hidden, but it's revealed by the apostles and prophets. That's what he says in Ephesians. And the mystery is this, because in the Old Testament, the Gentiles were the outsiders. That's all of us, by the way. They were blackguards. They were people that were living after and chasing after idols, mute idols, dumb idols, the Bible calls them. That we were chasing after the wind, or the moon is a god. The sun is a god. The rivers is a god. He says we were like dumb animals. It was anything that barked, or like, let's worship the calf. Although calves don't bark. There was no way they were brought in. If any Gentile was brought in the Old Testament, read it. Look at the things they had to go through to be incorporated into the community of Jewish people. And then you look in the New Testament and you'll see the struggle that the Jewish believers had with Paul. He was like, no, it's not by circumcision. It's not by keeping the laws. It's not by keeping festivals. It's not by keeping dates in the calendar. It's by grace. And the mystery, it says in another place that Jesus broke the dividing wall between Jew and Gentile so that we've become one new creation in Christ. And Paul, it's not a mystery to us because this is all we know. But it was a mystery to them that how in the world for those unclean Gentiles be welcomed by a holy God. And Paul says this. Paul said, there was a grace given to me for the Gentiles. There was a grace. God gives us a grace. Another translation says, in Ephesians 3, although I'm the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given to me for you to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of God that's in Christ Jesus. It says in Ephesians 4, it says, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ has afforded it to us. There's a grace given to us, not just for us, but for others. That's what he says. He says, I received this grace to go to the Gentiles. And this grace, remember what it is? It's God's ability to do what God's called us to do. It's God given of himself. So if God called Paul to the Gentiles, well then God says, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to give you grace. So when you speak to them, they're actually going to listen to you. When you speak to them about the wonders of God, I'm actually going to perform signs and wonders. Why? Because God has given himself to back up what he's called you and I to do. See, you and I are not just saved for ourselves. We're saved on purpose, for a purpose. We're not just saved from something. We're saved to something. We're not just saved from being lost. That our foulness, when we realize the grace of God, it's nearly like, how can I not share this with other people? And the grace that God has on each one of us. And I don't fully get this, so I'm in the same boat as many of us. But the grace that's common to us all is that I was lost and now I'm found. And when I tell others that, even if they might slag at the beginning, if I say God is real in my life, they may slag and holler and whatever, but that's exactly what I done before I get my life to Jesus. There's a common grace for us to share the gospel. And when we access it, we know the power of it. The Bible says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The power of God unto salvation, that when we tell someone else about this unmerited favor that we've been given at Christ's expense, believe me, the Holy Spirit will be doing a work in that person's life. Because his heart is that none perish, but all get to heaven. But if you've been healed of a disease or a sickness, well then, you've received the favor, and you can give a favor. Someone says this, that you cannot give away what you haven't got. People have been delivered in this place from heroin, bitterness, loneliness, delivered from all types of sin. Can I tell you, I believe you carry a grace that when you pray for people, if you are healed, they be healed. Because as you access the favor of God, you're accessing more of that favor. You can't give away what you haven't got. You can give away in knowledge, but it's different than when you're giving away in experience. Because you're not trying to convince somebody that Jesus does heal. You're like, I was once sick, and he healed me. Now, if you tell me a story, Donna, about where do you live, Fallsworth? Where do you live in England? Whatever that place is in England. Brixton. You can tell me, I seen a picture of Brixton. You remember it was up in your house? And it looks lovely. You could tell me all about this and it's great. But it's going to be greater when I go and experience it. I'm going to tell the story of this place greater when I've been there, smelt the air, ate the food, met the people. I'm going to be able to tell that story different than hearing a third party. And God has graced you with certain things. He's given you gifts and talents, and he's given you favor, unmerited favor in ways of your life that God's call in your life is like, now that you've been given it, freely give it away. Now that you've accessed this very nature and power and grace and favor and kindness and mercy of God, he says, now give her away. And this is what it says. So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time speaking boldly of the Lord, and the Lord confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to perform signs and wonders. That when we access and release the grace of God, he backs it up. He leans into it. He comes into the situation. Whatever we face, if it's something you're going through, will I get through this? His grace is sufficient. What is he saying? That when you turn to him, he will lean into the situation. He will give of himself. He will give of his favor. He will take Pharaoh. If Pharaoh is on your case, he will take Pharaoh and go, Pharaoh, you are nothing when it comes to my kids. If it's pain you're going through, don't look for a way out. Look to God. If someone comes, Pastor, no, well, how will I get out of this? If you know me, you know what I always tell you. Go to the Lord. Some people think they're the fountain of all wisdom. Some pastors feel that the world can't do without them. All we are supposed to be is someone that brings you towards Jesus. That if I bring you towards me in the end, I'm building up a cult following of who I am. Yeah, God has given gifts. Yeah, God has given wisdom to people. But ultimately, it's like, did you talk to the Lord about it? Because it's only him that can lean in with the grace. It's only him that can give you his nature and his favor. It's only him. And so whatever we're going through, you go, no, my life has not changed. I'm not going to tell you to go to a therapist. I'm not going to tell you to go to a counselor. I'm not going to tell you to go to the doctor. I'm going to tell you first to go to the Lord. They might come in after it. But firstly, I'm telling you, go to Jesus. He made you. He knows you. You know what it says in Ephesians 3? He conforms all things for the purpose of his will in your life. He conforms all things. That when we look to him, he's like, no, it doesn't matter if that's out of kilter. I'll bring it into kilter because it's my will in your life. It doesn't matter if Pharaoh is against you. I'll bring him to the book. It doesn't matter if you have no money, I'll bring in the money. It doesn't matter if you have no power. Paul says, I'm not going to boast in my strength, which he could have. He says, I'm going to boast in my weakness, because when I'm weakened, when I feel at my most weakest, I'm at my most strongest, because God's power is released in my life. Can we stand? If the worship team is here, could they come back? We have some time that we have made sure we have to pray with you this morning. Because it's no good speaking about grace. God wants us to experience grace. Amen. God wants to change us. God wants to give us the ability to overcome. God wants us to... God gives us himself. And you know what some of us just need is a good dose of wisdom. There's a man that was walking down the street, and every day he walked down the street, he fell down a manhole. Every day. One day he went down another street. One day he used a bit of wisdom and says, I'm not going down that road anymore. I keep falling down. And for some of us, it's just as simple as that. You keep doing the same thing, getting the same results. Walk down a different street. I put on that and I keep looking at that. Stop putting on that. I go and meet this person, I come away depressed. Bring someone with you. Every time I hang out with these people, I come away and I feel worse about myself. I belittle myself. I take control of the conversation. Some of us think men are going to meet all of our needs. Girls, they're not. Some of us think women are going to meet all of our needs. No, they're not. His grace is sufficient for everything. Some of us just need God just to impart a fresh, drop or to flood our lives. It's bigger. He wants to give us himself in that situation. And our job is, part of grace is to be able to access the things of God. We have access. The Jew and the Gentile have access. And only we can activate that. We step in faith. We step out believing God wants to do what he said he wants us to do. But some have dropped the call of God because you think it hasn't worked. No, he's afforded you a grace. And there's other people on the edge of that grace, on the other side of that grace. You access it again. Here I am, Lord. That's where Isaiah said. He just heard God conversing in the Trinity, and he goes, here I am, send me. Condemnation and guilt and fear will keep you out. His grace is sufficient. Step into it afresh in faith. I need power and all to just come through this situation. Here's grace for you. He brought the Israelites out of Egypt to a Red Sea that they couldn't part. Grace will not only bring you to it, but it'll bring you through it. He opened the sea so his people could get out safely. He probably has brought you to some things so that we could face up to them. But believe me, he'll bring you to it, he'll bring you through it. So just during this song, I don't know, whatever the guys want to play, why don't you just step forward if just God is tugged on your heart by his grace. And you know what you need from him. Believe me, he's saying he wants to give himself to us. His very power, his very nature. The operational nature of God to be able to do what God has asked us to do. And maybe you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior. You go, I would like to be able to see. I'd like to be found. I would like to be a saint, not a sinner. I would like to be someone who could overcome. I want to refocus. I want to be someone that leads my family out. I want to be the first one. I want to be the one that says, yeah, Lord, change my family tree. Use me. This is a day you can just say, listen. Jesus, come into my life. Make me new. Make me new. The Bible says it can happen. Do it, Lord. I give my life to you.